Well, congregation, please open the scriptures, the word of God, God's inspired word, inerrant, meaning there's no errors in it, infallible, meaning that it is of divine origin, sometimes called the divinity of scripture as well, God-breathed, as Paul wrote, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But this is God's word that we open up and we bow before this word in submission as we read it as well. So Hebrews chapter 12, we'll be looking at verses 1 through 3 together, hearing what God has for us from verses 1 through 3. But again, gaining the context here, let's begin reading at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 37, reading through chapter 12, verse 3. It is here in this portion that the writer of the book of Hebrews is explaining the value and the characteristics of true faith, and that true faith has within it an endurance, a perseverance. When we use the word perseverance, what we mean by that is that there's a struggle. We don't just mean preservation. Some people will use the word preservation, and that's a good term to use. But the better word is perseverance, and we believe the perseverance of the saints, because life is hard and difficult, and it has its challenges. And perseverance has that element when you use it, where preservation has more of a sense of, in the end, you'll be there. But with perseverance, it is not only an emphasis on the end, but also the means by which we get to the end, which is a struggle. And in Hebrews chapter 11, we see the truth of a living faith among the heroes of faith, that life is hard and it's difficult, and yet they all persevered by the grace of God. So let's pick up reading with that in mind in verse 37 of chapter 11. They were stoned and they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. And now our text in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 3. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your own souls. Oh my God, bless the reading of his word to our hearts together. Well, congregation, we have to admit, as people of God, as people of Christ, life can be filled with struggles. It is really reminded from our Lord's words that we are to bear our own cross in light of Christ's cross. In light of his victory at the cross, we are to mirror that in our lives. That is, that life is filled with struggles and sufferings. We have to receive that truth because that's the truth of Holy Scripture. And as we struggle with sin and confront suffering, we may wonder how all these things fit into God's plan of salvation. The idea of struggling over sin, persevering through life's struggle, is an ongoing work of God in every Christian. Calvin once wrote this: "He who's struggling with his own weaknesses presses towards faith in his moments of anxiety is already in large part victorious." Struggling through the faith. Struggling through the mysteries of in one sense, why me? Why my child? Why my wife? Why my husband? Why my church? Those, in certain contexts, are good questions to ask. And so in these two great chapters, 11 and 12 of the book of Hebrews, we're reminded that God's Spirit empowers the Christian life by taking ordinary people to do extraordinary things by His grace and for His glory. Ordinary people. Not the high and mighty. Not the self-righteous. But sinners. Like David. Like Moses. Like the Apostle Paul. Like you and me. He takes ordinary people to do extraordinary things with them. That's what God does. The work which God's goodness has begun, the arm of His strength will complete in us as we go through these struggles in life, as we persevere. And so verses 1 through 3 of the book of Hebrews, we consider under the theme of running with endurance and patience. We're answering the question, how do you persevere in the midst of loss and discouragement? What's the use of serving the Lord? How can you press on? Well, we endure as our Lord endured. Because we walk in His footsteps, we walk in His strength, we look unto Him as the great shepherd that He is. We endure, we persevere, because it is the work of the Spirit in us to persevere by His grace and for His glory. So we have 3 points to the sermon. We want to ask the what, the how, and the reason. So the what, the how, and the reason of running with patience and endurance. So at first we ask, what? What are we to do as believers? We are all aware of what is called a mission statement, aren't we? If we have any relation to a business and how it works, there's always a mission statement. And generally a mission statement is a statement of the purpose of the company. It brings organization. It brings continuity. It brings steps of doing things. In some sense, it's the reason for existing. We see this concept generally in the Word of God, but especially in the book of Hebrews as well. The book was written to Jewish Christians just before the fall of Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple by the Roman general, Titus. The main theme of the book is to encourage Jewish converts. To encourage them not to be discouraged, but to persevere or endure against their Christ-rejecting fellow Jews. We see this emphasized, especially in chapter 11, on persevering and enduring the faith of the Old Testament. You see, because of the Lord's atoning work, His sacrifice split the temple curtain from top to bottom, to open up a new and better way to God. Our Lord's one sacrifice is superior than all those rituals, all the pomp and circumstances that pointed to Him. And so the writer of this book encourages them, as Jewish believers, to persevere. As the Synod of Dort reminds us in section section 5, subsection 3. God is faithful, who having conferred grace, mercifully confirms and powerfully perseveres them even to the end. In our life of faith, we need to be reminded, and we need to be mindful that God is faithful to His people on account of Christ. Not account to our good works, not account to our traditions or pomp or circumstance, but on account of Christ and His atoning work. And this is the message that we need to hear today, to persevere. God is faithful. Hang on. God is listening. Notice the repetition in all three verses, and particularly in verse 1. Let us run with endurance. In verse 2, just as Jesus endured the cross. And then finally in verse 3, just as Jesus, who endured such hostility from sinners. And this is our mission statement, to endure, to persevere. This is the example of Christ our Lord and the great cloud of witnesses that have gone before us. So what are the believers to do? They are to endure. They are to fight the good fight of faith. No matter how it comes to you. Children, no matter how that fight comes to you. Young adults, no matter how that fight comes to you. It could come to you in the classroom. It could come to you from your friends. Persevere. Endure. As you know, congregation, the word endure means when it hurts. When our souls are pressed on every side, we keep persevering. By the grace of God, in resting upon our Lord's righteousness, in cultivating a spirit of humility and dependence upon the gospel. We don't like that term, when it hurts. We're Americans. The good life is what we persevere for, right? And desire and love. Our Constitution reminds us of that. But the way of the Christian, the way of life of faith is one when it hurts. Endure. Stand up for Christ. Be there when it's accounted for. God will give you the grace. And so then our duty as believers, our duty as a church, is not to be passive, but active in every way to persevere through all the pain so that our faith, which is a gift of God, grows like a rushing stream into our hearts and out in our life. It's the duty of every Christian to endure. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. As a church, we are not called to be passive. We're not called to be passive in the voting booth. We're not called to be passive in being elders or deacons. We're not called to be passive in the classroom. We're not called to be passive as a father or a mother. We do all things prudently and with wisdom. We do all things according to the standards of the Word of God, but it's not passive. It's active. And so the book of Hebrews here in our text is describing our statement to endure when it hurts. It's easy to endure when it's the good times. What about those bad times? Well, how are we to do that? It's easy to stand up here and say, endure. It's easy to go to somebody and say, endure. But you're not going through the pain that I'm going through. You don't know what it means to see your your child with cancer or some type of frailty of a mother or a father. Or to not get that raise. because you stand up for your faith. When the sewer of this world challenges your faith and you stand up, there's a cost to that. Well, how do we endure? This enduring duty provokes us to ask, how do we endure in running this race that God has set before us? The answer is found in those words. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. There's how we do it, right there. You see, anyone who has ever run a marathon or even a mile race knows you cannot win by sprinting as fast as you can. Remember when I began to start the academy that I was in, and we had to run 3 miles under time. And I've never ran 3 miles. I'm a sprinter. I like sprinting. I like getting it over with. And when I first started to run the 3 miles, I remember a man who knew how to run distance, and he said, Rick, it's heel to toe. Not toe, toe to toe. Not all about the toes. It's heel to toe. Otherwise, you're not going to make it. This is what really the metaphor that's given to us here. Those who do quickly run fast and a long endurance run out of steam and fade to the back. In the same way, the Christian life is like a marathon. God wants us to be endurance runners. The kind of people who will run the entire race and finish victorious at the end. See, that's why perseverance is much more a better term. Preservation is okay. It'll get you through the door. But perseverance, there's a little more to that word. In verses 1 and 2, we're presented with how to run the spiritual life with endurance, or as an endurance runner. How are we to be endurance runners? I want to be an endurance runner. Well, the first way is painted before us in a negative way, isn't it? Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which is so easily ensnares us. Now, let's put it in a negative format. You cannot run the race of the Christian life without killing, mortifying, or putting to the sword sin. A reference to sin here is not that one particular sin that often haunts us, that often brings us down. The reference here is to all kinds of sins that gets in the way of the Christian life. Again, the picture is of a runner, possibly the old Grecian games. Maybe the writer of the book of Hebrews has that in mind. Like our Olympic Games, who are getting ready to run. Before the runner begins, he enters the blocks to get ready to run. He strips down of all of his clothing except the bare minimum. If the race is going to be run well, to the best of his ability, he must strip down of anything that will get in the way to drag him down. Now we know that's not only true of runners. That's true of swimmers as well. Some say that the reason why swimmers are swimming so fast today in the pool is because of the technology that's built into their suits. They have less drag. So we understand that metaphor of being stripped down. And so it is in the Christian life. We must strip away all sin by killing it, because it gets in the way of our spiritual life. It drags us down. The point is the same. Zero tolerance for sin. That's what we need to teach ourselves. Zero tolerance. That's a popular phrase today, isn't it? Zero tolerance for racism. You even hear that today about rape. We have zero tolerance with regard to rape. Here, the zero tolerance is with regard to sin. And so what? The writer of the book of Hebrews, the Holy Spirit is reminding us to know your own sin. Know your sin. Your sin that easily besets you, it may not be mine. So the call is to know what keeps you from a close life with the Lord. Know what keeps you from that devotion, that devotional time that you should have. Is it Facebook? Is it sports? Is it shopping? Is it some of your friends? Let us lay aside those particular sins that trip us up and growing in Christ. Let us strip ourselves of those monstrous idols that keep us from understanding Christ and growing in Him by faith. Remember, for every believer, sin is not our friend. Zero tolerance, but a terrorist and a foreign intruder that must be killed. It must be mortified. Well, that's how we are to endure. That's the first way, in a negative way. Well, the second way, to be endurance runners, is painted in positively in the words, "Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." Jesus is both the ground and goal of our faith. This is our primary concern in running the race. Everything else is secondary. Even the mortification of your own sin, even the putting to death of your own sin, is secondary to the primary, which is to keep our face on Jesus. Because when you put your face on Jesus, when your whole life is orientated around Jesus, then you will kill your sin. You see, in one sense, you can kill sin. You could be a good, pious individual and still not make it to heaven. There are many people who have mastered the concept of lust and killing sin. They can kill sin well, but their focus isn't on Christ. And hence they miss heaven. Some of the most pious people I've ever met in my life weren't Christians. Lived a good life. Good people. But they don't know Jesus. And so the primary thing is not to simply kill sin. Important, yes. But the primary thing is to see Christ. In looking to Jesus, we find our high priest. We find our surety. We find our good shepherd. We find the door. We find the vine. We find the way, the truth, and the life. In Jesus, we see our only comfort in life and in death, in body and soul. In Jesus, we see our Savior and our Lord. And as we profess our Lord as Savior and seek to please Him, we'll run with endurance. We'll run with endurance when our children get that stiff upper lip and say, "I'm not going to church." You'll run with endurance when the devil tells you, "Don't worry about family worship. It's not important. Take it up tomorrow." Just like the Old Testament saints had a faith that focused on our Lord, so must we have our faith centered upon Jesus alone, not upon us, not upon our opponent. Why is it that so many people fall out of enduring a faith that endures? Because they have their eyes set on the opponent. The scriptures tell us to keep our eyes on Christ. Don't keep your eyes on your tradition. Don't keep your eyes on the Heidelberg Catechism. Keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. See, our call is to rest in our Lord Jesus Christ by faith. And that's hard to do, to trust Christ. To be endurance runners, we must never be in front of Christ, but firmly behind Him as our Lord, as our good shepherd of His flock, and we as the sheep of His pasture. Now finally, the writer of the book of Hebrews describes the reason we should run with patience and endurance. What encourages us to run with patience and endurance? I know who, I know how, and it's the reason behind that. Well, the third emphasis is placed on the reason or the motive in being endurance runners. Our motive or reason to look to Jesus is stated in the words of verse 2. Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's face it. This is a very important question to answer. What motivates you to do something? What motivates you to be here this afternoon? What motivates you to give your offerings? What motivates you in selecting a new pastor, which you will have to do? What is the motivation behind it? You see, that's why this is an important issue to deal with, and that's why the Holy Spirit gives it to us. You see, in verse 2, the author points out that the primary reason for our motivation to run with an enduring faith is the Lord Jesus Christ's endurance. The primary reason is found in the sacrifice or the atoning work of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you keep looking at Jesus, we endure because He endured for us. So any gospel that takes Jesus' cross out is no gospel. Any preaching that takes us away from Christ and His merits is false teaching. We need to keep looking to Jesus. Well, the words of verse 2 unfolds our Lord's motivation, which gives us our motivation, and the writer gives us two ways. The first example of our Lord is described in those words, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. Our Lord motivates us by what He endured and the way in which He endured it. What our Lord endured for us is the brutal cross. Not only in His life and being born under the law and fulfilling the law, but ultimately in our Lord's horrible mocking and scourging and brutal death. The cross with all of its cursedness. This is what Jesus endured. But notice those words. The joy. The joy that was set before Him. How can you have the cross as joy? Well, Jesus endured the cross with joy because it secured the salvation of the elect. It secured the salvation for sinners like you and me. And this is the reason that we look to Jesus, because He rescues us from our sin and guilt to clothe us in His righteousness. I was listening to the radio the other day. You know, when you're visiting, you always want to listen to the radio a little bit. Find out what's preaching, who's doing what, where. And I ran into the Catholic station. And since today is Mother's Day, well, the Blessed Mary was given a picture of how blessed she really was in this Roman Catholic's view. And how she's the mediator between Jesus and us, which finds no scripture at all. And then the radio man said, if your veneration of Mary doesn't lead you to Jesus, then there's something wrong with your veneration. And I immediately yelled out, and people around me thought I was crazy in my car, I'm sure, yelled out, then why do we need Mary? Go to Jesus. Go straight to Him. He's the one that endured the cross. He's the one that died for His people. Not Mary. You see, because of Jesus' endurance and fulfilling the law, I am an endurance runner by the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, the second example of our Lord is in despising the shame. Did you notice those words? Despising the shame. The force of the word despising is ignoring or disregarding. The word picture is of the abandonment of His friends, His disciples. The shame of being publicly mocked. The shame of being hung naked and tortured. Especially the shame set before His heavenly Father. And all this shame. Jesus disregarded the shame of the cross as worthless. He took that shame and He disregarded it. He ignored it, even though it was there. He didn't deny it, He ignored it. In all the shame, Jesus disregarded the shame of the cross as worthless and powerless in light of His victorious future and being seated at the right hand of God. See, Christ was able to look through all the shame and all the mocking and all the wickedness that was predetermined and decreed by God from the foundation of the world, prophesied in the Old Testament, and hung on Jesus Himself. Because His eyes was upon the goal of redemption and reconciliation of sinners and being seated at the right hand of God in majesty. You see, beloved, the gospel teaches us that what we could not do for ourselves is to be found in Jesus, who gave Himself for our sins so that He might rescue us from this present evil age. We see here that the gospel is not just about what our Lord has done for us, but also in us. The gospel is not only what about Christ has done for us on the cross, but what He does in us by the power of His Spirit in being endurance runners. Isn't that wonderful? Think of all the problems that the Old Testament saints had. They looked to Christ. They looked to His death and found hope and peace and security there. But it also found the power to live each and every day. A cross that doesn't give power, living power, is fruitless. That's why Jesus had to raise from the grave. And because He raises, we raise with Him in the power of the Spirit. And so those then, Jesus endured with joy the humiliation of the cross because He kept His eyes in the same place we should, on the majesty of Jesus Christ, with a salvation secured by His blood and resurrection. This is our comfort and joy, to fix our eyes not upon ourselves, the things of this world, or what others may think of us. That's that shame part again. But to fix our eyes upon the exalted Lord Jesus, for we are seated in the heavenly places with Him. This is our challenge today. Because we place too much emphasis, let's confess it, we place too much emphasis on what others think of us. Jesus never did that. Jesus was not a politician. We care far too much about what other people think and far too little about what God thinks of us. Too often people are far too big in our lives and God is far too small. Young people, like Jesus, despise the fear of man. Despise the negative peer pressure to be positive in the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's hard. It's difficult. It's a fight. But with God's grace, you can do that. Resting upon Jesus Christ. And this is our encouragement that we will endure. Because what God has started, He will see to the end. Because He who is greater in you than he who is in the world. Remember those words of verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, as we run the race of faith, let us remember that we are not alone. But there is a great cloud of witnesses to cheer us onward. Let us be encouraged by those who have gone before us, like Enoch, who walked with God, and Abraham, who was willing to give up his firstborn, and David, who was a man after God's own heart. Let us be motivated in the New Testament as well by the Apostle John and Peter, and yes, even Paul, who ran with endurance by keeping their eyes fixed on Jesus. But not only that, but listen, brothers and sisters. We live in 2015. We not only have the examples of Scripture. We not only have Christ as the center focus, but we also have the witness of the ages. We have Augustine. We have the Reformers. We have Hodge and so many other people. Wait. Young people, what about your grandparents? What about your mom and dad? You know, today's Mother's Day. Did you go up to your mother and tell her you love her today and give her a big kiss? And say, Mom, I love you. I love you because you're my mother and you weaned me on the faith. That's a precious thing. That's a gift of God. Or maybe your grandfather. Or maybe a friend. You see, they're cheering for us too. There's a great cloud of witnesses that spans throughout history. And so let us run with endurance. Let us run with endurance, keeping our eyes on Jesus. And may the triune God richly bless us as his people. To be endurance runners by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful examples that you have brought into our lives. Some of us, Lord, do not have believing parents. And out of your grace and mercy, you've plucked us out to start up a new seed, a seed that's grounded upon faith, a seed that sees Christ as the author and finisher of our faith. And then there's some of us, Lord, that have been raised in a Christian family, have parents to look onto, who cheered us on during those rough times, was there to pray for us and intercede for us. And there was those friends, that man that smiled and encouraged us to hold on to the faith that is so precious. Lord, help us to run with endurance, keeping our eyes upon Jesus. Forgive us, Lord, of our sins and bind us to Jesus Christ by true faith. Encourage us, Lord, each and every day. For we are your people and we confess your name. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.